Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes. With hands-free capture on an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration. And use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
And the beast is in once again, Josh Allen.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Lutz in the clutch, and the Broncos have won it.
The Rich Eisen Show, coming up on today's show. College football roundup, complete week 11 recap, Monday night football preview, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show, live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hello, SiriusXM Channel 80 listeners on ESPN Radio. Thrilled to be in your ear gate. It is a fun day in our neighborhood, as we've been doing for much of this NFL season. No guests. You know, we could use them, but today it's just us talking ball and a weekend of sports that was off the charts, and lots to talk about in all phases of the game. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Call us. We're always thrilled to hear from you. Overreaction Monday. Chris Brockman and I have already recorded it. As always, it's right out there in your RSS feeds. If you listen to podcasts, you can get them anywhere. And then there's our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Always thrilled to point out that on Mondays, a cut down version of it, just a half an hour of the pod, is shown on ESPN2 at 4:30 Eastern time. We're always pleased about that. Certainly in advance of a Monday night football game, the Cowboys and the Raiders will finish things off tonight. Good to see you over there, Christopher. How are you?
Hey, Rich. I'm excellent.
Chris Brockman next to DJ Mikey D. Mike Del Tufo. Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, candles lit. Sir, good to see you.
It's Monday. You know what that means.
It's the day after Sunday.
Oh, gosh.
Well, that and it's time for the varsity.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. 3-5-1 Cowboys need to win tonight to stay relevant in the 2025 season, and we'll preview that game later on this program. Talk some college football as well. Oh, thank you for asking. Oh, okay. So you cape for the Cowboys first, and then you turn human.
I prioritize.
I appreciate that.
You know, prioritize.
I don't think you really care how I'm doing. All right. Sunday night football, let's start with it. The Eagles and the Lions, a lot on the line. Certainly the Eagles knowing that the Rams and the Seahawks had played earlier in the day. The Rams won that one. We'll talk about that one later on in this hour. They needed to win in order to keep up pace. And the Lions already knew that the Bears had beaten the Minnesota Vikings. And then the Green Bay Packers, without Josh Jacobs, and who knows, we're going to keep an eye on for any MRI reports on that knee that potentially got MetLife'd yesterday. The Packers pulled that one out as well. So the Lions needed to win to avoid going from, wait for it, first to third in division. That's how they took the field last night. And a windy night in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And what we saw was a repeat of what we saw on Monday night, that the Eagles defense took an NFC North offense and balled it up and just flipped it into a trash can.
because the Philadelphia Eagles defense has two monster individuals in the middle of a defensive line who also are freakishly athletic in Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. And the number of times that Jared Goff had a pass batted down by either one of them, I lost track. And those mount up in terms of frustrating a quarterback that otherwise was taken off the spot by some marauding defensive ends coming at him, including the new Philadelphia Eagle acquired at the trade deadline by Howie Roseman, because he had the brilliant idea of taking a third round draft choice and flipping it to the Miami Dolphins for Jalen Phillips when I guess nobody else had that idea. And then you also have some linebackers patrolling. Zach Bond, a defensive player of the year finalist from last year, has now been joined by N'Kobe Dean, who's back from injury, looking like the Georgia Bulldog middle of the defense leader that he was in college. And then you got the guys on the back end doing what they're doing. And all 11 together is an organism that's coming for your quarterback and your offense to ball him up and flip him in a trash can. That's now the, coming into the season, top two teams in the NFC North that everybody went into the season saying that's the toughest division in football. And the Eagles have gone into one's house and then 6 days later welcoming another into their house and dominating. While the offense continues to struggle, because Saquon's not running for 2,000 yards and an open mouth got fed last night. Hey, man, listen, if you want the football, just go on Janky Rondo's Twitch feed and start making some passive-aggressive I-was-just-joking comments. And then survive a conversation with the man who signs your checks, reportedly, who tells you, listen, can we stop posting? Can we stop talking? Can we all just come together? And the answer to that question is, yeah, we can. Because after what A.J. Brown was saying, and rightfully so, I might add, but, you know, it just causes a lot of longtime listeners, first-time callers, to call radio stations and light things up and let the coach have to answer questions, basically say, I'm done answering questions about it. And what wound up happening was A.J. Brown getting the same number of targets as his uniform number, catching 7 of 11 targets for 49 yards. Nothing that lit anything up, but definitely matriculated the ball down the field when Jalen Hurts wasn't running it himself, getting stopped on a couple of tush pushes as well, I might add.
What's more likely?
Things were not happening on offense, again, for the Eagles, but the defense ruled the day by stopping the Lions not once, and I won't go through the whole thing, because it was 5 times the defense stopped the Lions on 4th down. When Clark coordinator kept dialing him up and kept running into a brick wall. And so that's the way the Eagles move on. And that's the way Jalen Hurts answers the questions afterwards about, well, so did you target A.J. Brown 11 times because he went on Janky Rondo's Twitch feed? I can't say those 4 words enough.
Get it? Just going with the flow of the game and how it was called and trying to go out there and execute.
There wasn't like an effort to get him the football.
That may be a KP question.
Interesting. Why does he want us to ask Kevin Pollak about it? That's really weird.
Yeah, weird. Yeah.
Oh, it's Kevin Petullo.
I thought it was Kendrick Perkins. It
could be that, too. Perk.
Kristaps Porzingis?
Yeah, him too. That's really weird.
Oh, Kenny Powers.
Ask the offensive coordinators what he's basically. I keep telling you, man, he's the one that just keeps taking the fire down. And you know who wants sometimes adds fuel to it, too? People like you out there who don't want to hear about it from folks like Carl Anthony Towns and the rest of Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Really
the head coach. Hit it.
As I watch football today, I feel like I saw a lot of like teams waiting to lose. Our team's waiting to win because they know how to win. And there's something to be said for that, of knowing how to win and knowing how to figure out ways to win. Do we want things to be better? Yeah, of course. That's you're in a constant quest of getting better. And we're going to be, like I said, crazy tomorrow about the things that we're working tomorrow. And I don't care what time the game got over or whatever it is, we're working tomorrow to get better. And that will be our mission. But it is, you sense it in those moments and from the coaches and from the players and from myself. Like, we know how to win, and we're going to figure out a way to win the game.
As I'm watching TV today, I saw a lot of crappy. Oh, wait a minute. You know what I mean? I'm watching TV today, and I saw a lot of hot garbage. But you know what? When our garbage is a particular temperature around here,
yeah, exactly.
We keep stacking wins. Can't argue with it.
Yeah, but it's still weird that Jalen Hurts wants to talk to Katy Perry. I just don't understand.
It's really okay. Keep going back to that one.
Stuff to Kelsey Plum.
Stacking wins, and the Eagles are stacked the wins against the two NFC North teams that we all thought were the teams that needed to be beaten. That's it, man. And the Philadelphia Eagles now go back home, lick their wounds. They'll watch Monday Night Football because that's the team they play next. Trying to sweep the Cowboys, take care of them. The division's essentially in the freezer. The Jello's jiggling, to use a Los Angeles phrase. And then comes the Bears after Thanksgiving. Prime Video's doing cartwheels watching the Bears continue to win and be a first-place team because the Lions have lost. They come out here to take on the Chargers, who just got waxed in Jacksonville.
Wow, that was
a shocking, surprising Sunday result. And then their final games against Vegas. Again, another reason why to watch tonight. Two games against Washington that should have the U-Hauls backed up after they just lost a sixth straight time in the Madrid game. And then a game at Buffalo that will have the feels of like maybe we'll see this in a few weeks, depending on the Bills continue to play after they and Josh Allen marauded Tampa on Sunday in Western New York. So the Eagles just keep stacking wins. Now we'll get to what a lot of folks are saying, and then we'll get to the Lions. A lot of people thinking the reason why the Eagles are stacking a win last night is because a zebra, not one from the Philadelphia Zoo, popped up his head and said, hold on a second. That third down play with the game essentially on the line because the Lions could get the ball back with an opportunity to tie the game, if not go ahead and try and win it with a two-point conversion. To use a Magic Johnson phrase, that's not going to be here. That opportunity to see the end of the game, not going to be here. Because a flag on the play on a third down, A.J. Brown locked up with Rock Ya-Sin. One-on-one, and it sure looked like some good tight coverage, tight enough to have either way of looking at it being possible, that A.J. Brown also shoved off on good old Rock. And it looked like Rock beat the Brown paper scissors. But in comes a flag, pass interference, and rightfully, Chris Collinsworth and the NBC booth calls it absolutely terrible. I thought the same thing. And after the game, this is what the head coach of the Lions had to say about it.
I thought he played defense like he did the whole game, man. I thought he challenged, and played it like he did the very first rep. That we played man-to-man, so I wouldn't tell him to do anything different, man. Get up there and challenge, play your style, and that's it.
And I will say here, in advance of showing you what Alex Kemp, the head official, said in a pool question report, that Rod Woodson once upon a time told me when things were starting off, but with the two of us on NFL Total Access on NFL Network way back in the day, over two decades ago, that when he played for future Hall of Fame head coach Chuck Knoll in the Steelers locker room, Chuck Knoll would tell the players either in the pregame meeting or speech, whatever, he would essentially tell the guys, at some point during this game, the refs are going to screw something up. And it's going to cost us. But if we play well enough, it won't cost us. So the phrase that he always said, and I always think of in moments like this, play better than the refs ref.
Yes.
The Lions make one of your five fourth down attempts. Don't go 0 for 5. Don't miss a field goal despite the wind blowing all over the place. Play better. And you won't have it come down to needing that third down stop that the Eagles wound up prevailing on because of a flag. And Eagles fans will point out, cry us a river about not having an opportunity to tie a game due to a flag of a questionable call because we couldn't have an opportunity in a Super Bowl that we lost to the Chiefs. And I said after that game, too, don't like the call, play better than the refs ref. And the Lions didn't at the end of the day. But it's tough to swallow when folks on the East Coast are keeping their eyes open to try and see how this game ends. For those of us who hosted pregame shows that started at 4 a.m. on the Pacific Coast, it's tough to stay up to watch the end of this game only to have it end that way instead of watching the Lions go down the field to try and tie the game or have it end on a more likely than not Dan Campbell swipe at a 2-point conversion attempt to win the game with no time left. But instead, it's like, oh, that's pass interference? Really? You're going to call that? Alex Kemp, the head official in a pool report, question. You know, about the 3rd and 8 play with 1:51 to go. Why is there pass interference on the play? The official observed the receiver's arm getting grabbed and restricting him from going up to make the catch. So the ball was in the air. There was a grab at the arm, restricted him, and he called defensive pass interference. Had maybe that official been looking at it from the front side, you'd have seen A.J. Brown extending his arms, which you probably could have seen from the other side, too. Or you just don't throw the flag. Now, Chris, go ahead and ask what you asked in Overreaction Monday. We can unpack it here a little bit, too. This is the first item up for bids in Overreaction Monday.
Yeah, sure. I think it's time when something is so obviously wrong called on the field, there has to be a sky judge to buzz in and be like, yo, that's wrong. Overturn it. It's time. It's the argument that you talked about before. If it happens in a huge game, you got to do something about it. Well, Sunday Night Football with the defending Super Bowl champions is a pretty big game. And going back even further to when instant replay got instituted, if we can see it at home and it's so obvious, then they got to get it right on the field.
Well, the problem is we've been down that road before. And that there was a game bigger than a Sunday night Week 11 game between two terrific teams that are vying for a championship. There was two terrific teams vying for an NFC championship in New Orleans, and we saw how brutal that was, and it instituted a well-intentioned rule change that we're going to replay pass interference. And the problem with pass interference is it's all subjective, all of it. One official sees defensive pass interference. I saw offensive pass interference, if there's anything. As I mentioned in the podcast, I'll repeat it here. Let's just say you're in a museum looking at a piece of art. You're a cultured man, TJ.
Yeah, I've been around the world.
I'm a cultured man. You guys stay out of it.
Hey, whoa. Throwing shade at me and Brockman for what?
Come on, Mike.
You interpret the painting one way. Mm-hmm. I interpret another way.
Like two dogs and one's looking this
way. I'll use your analogy too, Chris. And it's something like the end of Shawshank Redemption.
Oh.
Some people see a beautiful moment in Ziwat and Neo.
Of course.
I see a dream sequence.
Oh.
You look at Die Hard.
Oh.
It's that time of year.
Oh, I watched it over the weekend.
I bet you did.
Christmas movie.
Because people view it as a Christmas movie.
Well, they'd be right.
I view it as an action movie that happens to take place during Christmas.
Both things can be true.
Huh? Same thing as pass interference, which is why it can't be reviewable. In the World Series ending, either Will Smith's toe was on that home plate as IKF came sliding in with his foot, or it wasn't. It's not like an interpretation was Will Smith blocking the plate, and when is he blocking the plate, and what constitutes blocking the plate, and when is his foot down, when does this guy slide in? this moment was 100% reviewable. Because a foot is in or it's not. And if you can't view it, you got to stay with the ruling on the field. And everyone would understand it. But at one point, you want to talk about big moment, the entire World Series and baseball season was in the replay machine. And if it came out a certain way, you'd be like, I can see it. Instant replay ain't that. And hopefully we'll never go back to it. If you remember when the season when instant replay was reviewable, NFL coaches stopped asking for it because it came back with one big shrug emoji every time. So there will always be human error. And at the end of the day, you got to play better than the ref's ref. And the Detroit Lions are now sitting in third place because they couldn't convert on fourth downs. They dropped too many passes. Goff was harassed too many times. Couldn't be protected enough. Maybe they didn't go to Jahmyr Gibbs enough. We will see how Dan Campbell, maybe potentially, unless it doesn't happen in the state of Michigan. Hey, the play calling worked the first time you did it. The second time, not so much. Or is it the Philadelphia Eagles are just that damn good? And at the end of the day, if the Detroit Lions need to make the playoffs, it won't be as division winners. Or, wait for it, they wind up going into Chicago when they visit them in the final game of the year. Stop me if you've heard this one before, where a team either wins the division or makes the playoffs another way or misses them entirely. That reeks of a, if you smell it right now, the final game of the year on NBC, potentially. They sweep the Lion, the Lions sweep the Bears, and off they go. And the Lions, as always, because the NFC North plays the AFC North, and they got a first-place schedule, they just have a ton of big games. Next up for them is Jameis Winston in their house before they have a Thanksgiving game against Green Bay, which is going to be huge, before they go and have Dallas come in a week after Thanksgiving, and they're all on a full complement of rest before they come on and take on the Rams. Home for Pittsburgh, who maybe has Aaron Rodgers fresh out of a cast, or before they visit Minnesota and Chicago to finish things out. Division's not gone. Conference isn't gone. Unless you think they got to be one better than the Eagles and the current sniffing at Lions at eighth and out of the playoff picture. If the playoffs started today, they now need to be a game better than the Eagles. And good luck to see if the Eagles lose three more times this year, not only because they have a great defense and at some point they'll find a way on offense, but also, last I heard, other teams are playing not to lose, and the Eagles play to win.
Breaking news.
As I just heard. Conference may be gone for the Lions. Division's not. We'll see what happens at the end of the day. But I understand, Lions fans, you feel robbed. Play better. And then on top of it, I feel robbed as a viewer. Man, I wanted to see the Lions get that ball back and maybe go for two at the end. Now, that would have been a way for us to start today's show rather than a pool report answer, which was unsatisfactory, to say the least. Let's take a break. When we come back, the Denver Broncos take care of business against the Chiefs. What does that mean as the defending AFC West and AFC champs are at 500?
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Let's talk about O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts, accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, too, can test your battery for free in or out of your car. And if it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. That's how helpful they are. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. The Rich Eisen Show simulcast. Our radio audience just rejoined us. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listen, the Denver Broncos taking on a Chiefs team coming off a bye. I mean, what is the most repeated aspect? Once upon a time, it used to be Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. What's the most repeated stat that you hear or fact
bullet
that you hear in the NFL? Andy Reid coming off a bye.
Coming off a bye, Andy Reid. Oh, man.
I'll tell that to the Denver Broncos, who took care of business yesterday. They wound up winning again. They wound up coming back again. They have now 9 wins on the season, 8 of them in a row, and 5 of them on that win streak have involved a fourth quarter in which they took at least one snap trailing. At least one snap they were down in the fourth quarter in 5 of the wins. Unbelievable. They keep doing it. They were down by 14 in week 5 against the Eagles. They were down by 1 against the Jets in London. They were down by 19 against the Giants in week 7. Those are 3 weeks in a row they did it. Then in week 9, they were down by 8 against the Texans and then down by 3 at one point in the fourth quarter yesterday. And Bo Nix led a game-winning drive. Their 8 straight wins is the longest Broncos win streak within a season since winning 11 straight in Peyton Manning's first season with the Broncos in 2012. It's the 5th longest win streak within a season in the history of the Denver Broncos. They've now won 11 straight at home dating back to Week 8 last year. That's the longest winning streak in the NFL at home at present. And their win streak overall is tied with the Patriots for the longest active one at 8. But of course, it's against whom they won their 8th in a row that we're all talking about, because this is the division the Chiefs have won 9 straight times. And the Chiefs are now at 5-5. We'll get to them in a second. But the Broncos did what they had to do. And everybody on that bandwagon in the middle of the season that was on this bandwagon back in the summer, the middle of the summer, is feeling really good about themselves because the Broncos are making them look smart. And the number of, again, comeback, come from behind wins, and how sometimes they struggle on offense in the beginning and they struggle on offense throughout. And only come alive in the fourth quarter. And yeah, this but candies and nuts. Well, there's one metric. It's the win column. 9 of them. And that's all Sean Payton wanted to talk about when asked about his quarterback's performance after the game.
Oh, especially on that last drive, at the one to Sutton. And then
it's outstanding.
How did he perform tonight, kind of in a big
moment? I think real well. He won. It's his job. He won.
Okay.
It's his job. Fifth game-winning drive of the season. Only trails John Oy for the most game-winning drives in a season in the history of the Denver Broncos, and he's one behind the 85 version of Elway. If I'm not mistaken, that was his second year. And guess who's in his second year? Bo Nix. And you could sit here and say, oh, it's the defense, this, that, the other thing. And the Broncos did sack Mahomes three times. But that's only the fourth game that Denver's had three or fewer sacks in a game this year. And the quarterback pressure rate of Mahomes was 28.6%. That's the second lowest quarterback pressure rate by the Broncos in a game this year. Thank you, Next Gen Stats, for making an old Gen Stat guy look smart and young. I do feel that way, despite not getting a lot of sleep. But the bottom line is the Broncos have won. Bo Nix had this to say after the game.
They were, you know, at the top. And if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And, you know, if you're, some say if you're scared, go to church. But I think it's good to, if you're going to play this sport, if you're going to play this game for too long, you can't really be intimidated, or there's really no sense in going out there. If you don't believe you're going to win and eventually get to the top, then I feel like you just waste so much time, you know, throughout the week. But we work hard, and we've put together a great team to win games like tonight, and, you know, it paid off.
Again, we don't talk religion around here, but Bo, if he winds up in church next Sunday, it's not because he's scared. It's because he's off on a bye. He has the opportunity to do whatever he wants to do next Sunday. As a 9-win quarterback this year, while New England visits Cincinnati. They're moving on to Cincinnati. Go figure that. And the Chiefs now head home to take on the Indianapolis Colts. So the Broncos have a defense that can beat you, an offense that can rise up to beat you. That's a dangerous combination. The only losses the Broncos have had this year have been with no time left on the clock, when the Colts and the Chargers beat them on last second field goals. So there's all of that. And they come off the bye visiting Washington, which looks terrible, despite having their best game in a month and a half, losing to the Dolphins in Madrid. Then they visit Vegas before Green Bay. And then there's Jacksonville in Denver before the Chiefs welcome in the Broncos on Christmas on Netflix in a last game against the Chargers for the Broncos. The problem for the Chiefs is, even if they're rooting for Jacksonville to beat Denver to help them win the division, they've got a Jacksonville problem. And that's the point about the Chiefs at present. 5-5. Mahomes has never been 500 this late in a season as a professional quarterback. The Kansas City Chiefs have lost to all three current occupants of a wild card spot. That's a problem, especially when two of them are out of the division. The Chargers in the sixth seed, the Chiefs do see them one more time in Arrowhead. And that game, let me get this right, for Kansas City is week 15. The problem is they don't see the Bills or the Jaguars again. The Jaguars did the Chiefs a favor, I guess, by beating the Jaguar, by beating the Chargers, and they beat them up real, real, real well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they tenderized them, and they put Trey Lance in the game because Jim had enough of his quarterback getting hit.
Yeah.
And in the same way, I'll give you an analogy that might give you an idea of just how problematic the Chiefs situation is entering week 12. If you're out there and you're in multiple fantasy leagues, how many times does a result help you and hurt you at the same time? Oh, this guy just scored. That helps me, but I'm going against him in another league.
That's why it stinks doing multiple leagues.
Exactly. Yeah. The problem for the Chiefs is a result like yesterday. Hey, Chargers lose. That's great. Problem is the Jaguars win. And the Jaguars have already beaten the Chiefs on that Monday night. Back in week 5, I believe. That's correct. So they've got tiebreak problems as a wild card, which is kind of crazy we're even talking wild card, because this team's won 9 straight AFC West championships. And that chase may just be gone. because the Broncos have 9 wins and the Chiefs have 5 with 7 games to go. And if they sweep all 7 games, that means the Broncos are going to have to lose more than they win the rest of the way. They're going to have to suddenly turn into a 500 team, and they don't have a defense to turn into a 500 team. Certainly if Sertan's going to come back after the bye. All of these wins have come with Sertan out for Denver. And then the ultimate issue for the Chiefs is they are not coming up with the moments in the tight games when the football crucible is at its most intense. This is when the team has been able to focus and execute better than you, because they've been there and they've done that, and their roster is filled with those types of players, with a coaching staff that is chock full of rings and history in those moments to beat you, because you're not as good at it and you're not as experienced at it, which is why they were 12-0 in one-score games last year. This year, in one-score games, they're 0-5. Every single one of their losses have been one-score game losses, and they didn't have a single instance of it last year. And next up for them are the 8-2 Colts coming off of a bye before they visit Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. And Houston, we assume, will have C.J. Stroud back on that Sunday night. And then they have the Chargers in their house before they visit Tennessee. And that game against Denver, they're going to have to hope against hope that Denver does lose a couple of times between now and Christmas. And then they beat Denver on Christmas Day, and they basically don't lose another game and have a shot on Christmas Day to flip the tables before welcoming in Vegas to finish up the season, or rather visit Las Vegas, which is not a problem for them. Just ask the confetti they're still picking out of their hair from that building 2 years ago. But that team's got to show up. When's it going to show up? Patrick Mahomes had this to say after the loss.
Yeah, I mean, you got to let it. I mean, it sucks. Don't get me wrong. Like, you got to feel that. But you got to be able to kind of use that energy to push it into the next week, into the rest of the season. And all you can focus on is the next game. You get another opportunity to go out there and prove yourself. And obviously, we've been losing these close games recently, but we've played some good football in spurts. It's just about being more consistent. And until we go out there and do it, all you can do is just keep saying you got to keep practicing and getting better and better, and push yourself to go out there and do it on game day.
Let's be honest. If Brett Veach could go back in his in a hot tub time machine, could go back in the football DeLorean, would he give the Jets whatever they asked for Breece Hall?
Yep, absolutely, 1,000%.
And if Rashee Rice can start to maybe get his sea legs a little bit under him, I don't know. The first two games look pretty good with him coming back. I'll tell you this, and this is why I still haven't given up, because there's still the Chiefs, man. They're still unless you put in the stake through their heart, I don't want to hear about it. And I still believe that they're going to have an opportunity to show up maybe in someone else's building on Wild Card Weekend for the first time.
And 5-5, they're limping pretty good. They're bleeding. They're kind of like the bad guy who's, you know, just needs one more kill shot.
I know that. Or there's somebody cornered, and we're gonna see the Chiefs of old suddenly show up, because it's still there. I bet if I told you going into the season they're going to be 5-5 after Week 11 losing in Denver, you'd say, well, Kelsey's got to hang him up. Dude, 91 yards and a score.
He's looked pretty good.
Season high 9 catches. The old school Kelsey's out there, man, as he passed Priest Holmes for most touchdowns scored in Chiefs history yesterday. It's not him. It would help to just get the run game. But if they had a 100-yard rusher, do you know how much that would help? Defense, it's coming down to it. And the other team's making more plays than them, and it's got to be mystifying to them. What is it? Is it one thing that's fixable? Or, as Mahomes just said, practice harder, keep your nose to the grindstone, and it will all work out. That's the only way you can go about it. I know it drives fans crazy when analysts come on and say, just coach better, play better. What does that mean? It's got to be something you could just put your finger on and fix. I don't know. I just still think they have the right people in that room. And, boy, is Chiefs hosting the Colts just a massive football game. Oof. Certainly, if the Colts want to keep pace with the Patriots and Broncos, words that I didn't think I would be saying into a microphone on a Week 11 Monday. in 2025, but it's the truth. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, the battle of the NFC West was something to behold up the road here in Los Angeles. And your phone calls at 844-204-RICH on The Rich Eisen Show on a fun Monday.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
This message is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. As the holiday season rolls around, we know that you strive to do everything you can to bring cheer and joy to your loved ones. And as a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we understand that every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 with Navy Federal's Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. But the giving doesn't stop there. You could also earn up to 2% unlimited cash back with these cards. So saving up for whatever the season brings just got a little easier. Give joy. Get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. ESPN Radio back on the air, presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 43 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. Well, the Rams and the Seahawks played a Donnybrook. We knew it would be, right, with those two defenses. We know the last time Sam Darnold came into that house was his last game as a Minnesota Viking, where he took a ton of sacks and the Rams survived. And the Rams went up in this game with a couple of quick scores, and then the Seahawks dominated the second quarter, in which the Rams had a grand total of total yards of, wait for it, one. And then the Seahawks had an opportunity over and over again to take a lead or make it closer, and the Rams defense kept picking off Sam Darnold. And Matthew Stafford did just enough. I mean, the Seahawks held Matthew Stafford to his season low in passing yards and touchdowns. Season low. But that Rams defense, man, this is why they were on top of my power rankings entering this game, is because they're doing it in every phase. As a matter of fact, their kicking game was on point yesterday as well, including a punt that was down inside the one-yard line just when the Seahawks needed to march down the field. Cameron Kitchens, two defensive interceptions, yeah. Four defensive interceptions for the Rams. That's just the second time in the last dozen seasons the Rams have had four interceptions in a single game. Kobe Durant and Darius Williams had the other ones. Season-low in completions and passing yards, pardon me, for Stafford. Just 55 passing yards in the first quarter for him, 75 yards the rest of the game. So Stafford, though, is emerging from this game with an 8-2 record, 27 touchdowns and two interceptions. And the last guy to have 27 touchdowns and two interceptions after 10 games is Patrick Mahomes. He did not win the MVP in 2020 because there's a guy who had 29 touchdowns and four interceptions after 10 games, and that was the eventual MVP in Aaron Rodgers, who had 28 touchdowns and three interceptions after his first 10 games of the 2014 season, where he won MVP. In the 21 season, he had 31 touchdowns and four interceptions after 10 games, and he won the MVP that season. Brady had 38 touchdowns and four interceptions in his perfect season of 2007 after 10 games. He won the MVP that season. Is this guy the MVP of this season? The Rams are leading the toughest division in football, certainly in terms of eye test and in terms of aggregate wins and losses. They are beating the Seahawks by 1.5. They split with the Niners, who they eviscerated the week before. Nice week for the Rams, man. going into Santa Clara, taking care of business, coming home and beating the Seahawks in their first of two meetings. Their next game is a Sunday nighter at home against Tampa, which needs to win for sure with the Panthers right behind them. But the Rams, I think, have the best offense in football through 11 weeks in terms of consistency. The only reason why they're not on top of the NFC is because they couldn't make a kick in Philadelphia, where they already had a game won against the Eagles otherwise. Awesome. Well done. And I guess the fact that they had to hold on to win and white-knuckle their way through left Sean McVay subdued afterwards. Oh, wait a minute. I'm being told like he was completely amped up and talking a million miles a minute. Hit it.
Oh, man, it's awesome. I mean, here's the thing that I love. These guys, they stay connected. There's so much work that goes into being able to get that. And it was really the next step in our journey that we're on. And whether we came up short and they make that field goal or whether we end up winning, there's nothing like celebrating with those guys, being able to learn and continue to grow. But I love that team, and it's a lot of fun in there. I think you can hear that, too.
Last time the Rams started better than 8-2, they started 9-1 in 2018. They made the Super Bowl loss to the Patriots, and they didn't score a single touchdown in that one with Jared Goff. Hey, man. Battle-tested. Tough division. Winning it. And the Seahawks, I got to tell you, you can't get down, man. I mean, these things happen on the road in division. Just ask the Ravens, who were able to survive against Cleveland. Four interceptions by Darnold. The problem for them, and not on top, only on top of that, were the four field goals. So the Rams defense turned him away and then bent, but really didn't break.
Couldn't get in the end zone.
Kenneth Walker touchdown to make it really close.
Yeah.
Ernest Jones Jr. doesn't want to hear anything about a slide of Sam Darnold by any stretch of the imagination. Here's the soundbite you're referring
amazing.
To, Chris.
It's so good.
Best defensive quarterback we've heard maybe all year. Hit it.
Sam's been balling. Like, if we want to try to define Sam by this game or what, man, Sam's been had us in every game. So for him to sit there and say, oh, that's my fault. No, it's not. There was plays that defensively we could have made plays. There were opportunities where we could have got better stops. I mean, like, it's football, man. And he's our quarterback. We got his back. And you got anything to say, quite frankly?
But he could say that to me because I just disrespected two generations of Joneses. He's not junior. He's the fourth.
So. Well, there you go.
Listen,
F you, Rich Eisen.
Yeah, exactly right. Seattle's next game is at Tennessee, home for Minnesota. Won't that be a moment for Sam Darnold to maybe use those two words? At Atlanta, home for Indianapolis. Then they get a second shot at the Rams on a Thursday night. At Carolina, in a game that I might be calling on NFL Network, depending on the way other things shake out. And then they're at San Francisco. A lot of winnable games for Seattle. This division's not over by any long stretch, certainly with the way they play defense, and certainly with Jackson Smith and Jigba being
oh, his one-handed catch yesterday?
Unreal.
Oh, my goodness.
That was spectacular. He has now gotten 75 or more receiving yards in each of the first 11 games this season. There's a list of players who've done that in NFL history. He's the only one on it. Never seen it before. Division not over by a stretch. Just the first hour of this simulcast is.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.